Father, we thank you today that you have provided everything that we need in order to live righteous lives before you. You have saved us and you have called us out from this wicked world in order that we might be your chosen people and in order that we might be an example to all of those who are around us and that people would be able to see you in us. So we pray today, Lord, we know it is by your word that you do this perfecting work in us. And we just pray today, Lord, that you will be working in our hearts so that your word may be more fruitful and more productive than it ever has been in the past. That is our prayer today. That's what I pray for our church, for myself, and for all of us who invoke the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is in his holy and wonderful name we pray. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Today we do not, as I understand it, have the projector, so you will not be seeing the words as we've been having them to put in the blanks. But if you are one of those at least who likes to follow along with our notes, there is an insert in the bulletin for that, and now would be the time to get that. Now I'm just curious this morning. How many people do we have here? Now, on this one, you don't need to stand. Just raise the hand. But how many do we have that might have been raised on a farm, at least partially raised on a farm? We've got some. How many have ever planted a garden from scratch? Oh, we got a whole bunch of people. So I have to think that a lot of you today can really kind of relate to what we're talking about. It's that time of year, isn't it? It's that time of year when people are getting out there, and you go to Lowe's and places like that, and people are buying that, we used to call it fertilizer. Now all of a sudden it's plant nutrient or something like that. But anyway, people are out there, and people are out there with their rototillers, and my wife's sister and husband, they usually put in a big garden, and he hasn't been able to do quite as much recently as he has in the past, and so we benefit from that garden because we get a lot of produce out of it each year. So Barbara asked me if I'd go over and help a couple days, and I did. And one of my jobs was to run that little tiller. And you know, that little tiller wasn't all that big, but I tell you what, that was hard work. That thing worked muscles in my body that I had forgotten I even had. And I am still, that was 2 or 3 weeks ago, I am still feeling effects from that. I'm getting new little creaks and things that I've never had before, and I think it's from running that tiller. But after it was all tilled up, and after the rows were made, and after the plants were in place, there is a certain satisfaction of standing there and looking at that, isn't there? And you know, God is the great gardener. You know where he put Adam and Eve at the very beginning? In the garden. And God's word is a seed, and we know that from different passages. And Jesus talked about the word of the gospel being a seed, and that how well the seed does has a lot to do with the soil. And so that brings us to our subject today of plowing. A few weeks ago, we talked about the necessity of the rain, that once the ground is prepared and the planting is done, we still have to get the rain from the Lord so that that can grow. But so we're kind of working in reverse order here. But long before that step, there is a first step that has to happen, and that is the step of plowing. So let's go to our observations here this morning, a few parallels here between the gardening and what God does in our hearts. Number one, there are two essential primary steps in the planting process: plowing and sowing. And of these, plowing is the first. And I tell you, it doesn't matter whether you're out in the Middle West where they measure acres by the thousands and they have one of those giant tractors that probably sits higher than our church balcony and the guy's way up in the cab and he's got one of those plows that must do, you know, I don't know, 40 feet wide or something, and every time they go down, or whether you're in some little jungle somewhere down in South America and they're out there with a stick, or whether you're on some mountainside, a third world country, it doesn't matter. Wherever you go, if somebody's going to plant something, the first thing they do is break up that soil. It does not matter, and it doesn't matter if the soil is sandy, if the soil, what kind of soil it is. Anywhere you go in the world, everybody knows that the first thing you do, and down south where I'm from, they were still plowing with the horses and the mules and the man walking behind the plow. And I had to think the other day, man, I tell you what, those people get up at sun up, they'd plow all day in that field. I tell you what, they must have been tired when they got home. And I don't know how much they were able to plow in a day, but they did all they could, and they had these blades. And I used to go over and watch the blacksmith work in Cuba, because we lived right up the street from a practicing blacksmith, and watch him repair people's plow blades and stuff. But they get out there, and they plow, and that is the first thing. Everybody knows that. You cannot sow the seed. Why? Because it's not ready to receive the seed. You can plant and plant and plant, and it's just standing right there on top, and it's not doing a thing. Everybody knows that the first thing you've got to do is plow. Number two, even good ground must be plowed and prepared. There are places in the world where the soil is rich and all of that, and it's just wonderful, and it grows great crops. But even though the soil is good, it isn't going to do anything unless it is first plowed and prepared to receive the seed. All ground has to be plowed. Number three, the reason plowing is necessary is because untilled ground becomes hard and is unable to receive the seed. And that is absolutely true. And you can take a plowed field and you can let it lay 2 or 3 years, and then when you come back to plant it again, guess what you got to do? You got to plow it again. You got to plow it back up, so that because soil left to itself, soil unattended by its very nature will become hard. Number four, plowing is done to A, soften the soil and prepare it for receiving the seed, and B, to break up, uncover, reveal, and eliminate the things in the soil that will hinder and or retard the growth of the seed. And when you're out there plowing, there isn't any telling what is going to turn up out of that soil. There are stones, there are sticks, and in our day and age, there are pieces of glass bottles and pieces of aluminum cans, and who knows what kinds of things we're going to turn up when we start plowing. And that when they are revealed, then we take them and we use a rake or something and we get that stuff out of there, because we know that if it stays, it's going to retard, it's going to interfere with the productivity of the seed that we're about to sow. So that is one of the things that it does. It reveals the things that are there, so that the things that are going to interfere can be taken out of the way. Number five, this is just an observation. Yeah, plowing is hard work. Let me tell you something. From the standpoint of the one doing it, and also, could you imagine if soil had feelings? And that rototiller is going through there. I tell you what, it is ripping through there. It is a violent operation. Plowing is a violent operation by its very nature. I mean, you plow with a blade. You don't plow with a blunt instrument. And the whole idea is, because that's what's required. You can't just go out there with a little toothpick or something and do your plowing. You know what I mean? You've got to get some force behind that thing, and you know, in order for it to be, because it's hard. And it is not an easy thing. It really is not. This is the hardest work, probably, of everything that the farmer does. The sowing, the watering, the fertilizing, the weeding, all the other things that the farmer does through the year probably isn't as hard a work as the plowing. The plowing is the first, the most important, but also the hardest. It is hard work. So I'm just telling you, when the Lord gets that plow out, you know, it's not always easy. This is hard work. Do you want to grow in the Lord? Well, you got to be willing for the Lord to get that blade in there and start breaking up that soil. And a lot of us recoil at that, A lot of us find that part of it uncomfortable. We don't want to be under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We don't want to be reproved. We don't want to deal with it. And so we choose the easy way out. And because of that, God's Word is never able to produce. One of the reasons today that the Word is preached so much and there is so little results from it is that we are sowing seed into unplowed hearts. And so the seed is going out there. It is just laying on the top. That ground has never really been plowed. It has never really been broken up. And therefore, the seed produces very, very little. Number six, the best prepared soil is the most productive soil. We must have run that tiller through there four different times until we got that dirt where we wanted it and felt like it was okay now to plant. How many times does the Lord have to run his plow through your heart and mind before we are ready to receive the word? But do you get the point here? You are wasting your time sowing good seed in soil that is not properly prepared because it is not going to grow and it is not going to produce. So as we say to the Lord, Lord, I want to grow in you. I want to grow in your word. We have got to be willing for the Lord to get the plow out and begin to plow in our hearts and prepare the soil of our hearts. It can be uncomfortable sometimes. It can be difficult at times. But that is the most important step, and the Lord knows that. And without the plowing, there will never be. Let me tell you this. Whatever the Lord has produced in you up to this time, from the time you got saved until this day, whatever the Lord has produced in you, whatever is growing in you that is good and is of Him, has only been made possible to whatever degree His plow has been used first in your heart to prepare the soil of your heart to receive that seed. But how many know there's always some unplowed areas? Huh? We're getting down home. Parallels. In God's kingdom, God's word is the seed and our hearts are the soil. We know that from the parable of the sower. So that one's pretty self-evident. In God's kingdom, God's word is the seed and our hearts are the soil. God's word is a living thing. He plants it, but it doesn't just reach its full potential overnight. He plants it and it grows. Number two, like untilled soil, our hearts can be hard and unreceptive and may conceal hindering factors that will keep God's word from properly taking root in our hearts. Number three, in order for God's word to truly thrive, our hearts need a plowing and a preparation through the preparatory work of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And I will say this. We'll save this one for the next one. Number four, God's Word contains both plowing passages and seed passages. Both are necessary, and both should be going on in some measure in every believer at all times. It's not all one, and it's not all the other. But those passages that say, put away lying. Don't lie to anyone any other. Get rid of the moral filth out of your life. And this, those are plowing passages. Because the Lord is telling us what the obstacles are. He's telling us what the things are that are going to have to go before His Word can really take root and become productive in our lives the way that He wants it to. And up until the point of salvation, all the plowing that God does in our hearts is to prepare us to receive the seed of the message of salvation. Then, after we have received the message of salvation, then the plowing that He does is so that His Word can be effective in our lives to cause us to grow and to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. From the point of salvation forward. The plowing doesn't stop. It is just now for a different purpose. So, the Lord begins to plow and as he plows, his plow, the plow of his word, uncovers all kinds of things. And we need to be very sensitive at this point, because if we resist this part, if we just kind of shy away from it or ignore it, we're doing it at our own peril. Because what we're doing is we're saying, Lord, I don't want you to really plow, because that hurts. That's uncomfortable. So please just let me be as I am. And that is a very, very sad state of affairs, because at that point, we are basically cutting ourselves off from growth that the Lord would do in us. At that point, we are cutting ourselves off from strong witness for Him. We are cutting ourselves off from usefulness for Him, because unless the plowing happens first, the sowing of the other seed isn't going to go very far. Now, I didn't even put these so that there would be any blanks to fill in. And this is just a partial sample list. But here, I don't know, but between what I know about myself and between what I've read in the Word of God, I think that these are things that do appear in human hearts, even in the hearts of people who are believers. Bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness. Let me ask you something. How fruitful can God's word be in a heart that is full of resentment and unforgiveness? Not very. Not very. Those have got to go. How can His word that says for us to love one another and to be tenderhearted toward one another, that those seeds, those are seeds that have got to grow. They're not going to grow as long as I'm holding on to that resentment. They're not going to grow, because the resentment isn't going to allow that seed to grow. It will not happen. It's got to go. The rocks have got to go. They've got to go, because if they don't go, God's word, either it's going to sprout at all, or it's going to sprout, and then the first time there's a test that comes along, we're going to go right back into the old pattern. Jealousy, pride, and selfishness. That doesn't exist in any Christian you know, does it? How much can God's word grow in a heart that's full of jealousy or pride or selfishness? And the answer is, not very much. What about number three, fear, doubt, or unbelief? How much? We hear messages on faith. But the old fear, doubt, and unbelief stones are still firmly in place. How is faith going to really take root in that heart? I've often said, if you want to put something new in a glass, you've got to empty out what's in it first before it can take the other. If you want to fill the glass with milk and it's full of water, you've got to empty the water so that there'll be room for the milk. Sometimes we say, Lord, I'd like to be more loving. What we ought to be saying is, Lord, get rid of the rock of bitterness and resentment. Let's get to the root cause here. Let's get rid of the things that are going to retard the growth, so that when you do sow the seeds of your word in my heart, now it can grow and take root. Number four, worldly frame of reference, love of pleasure. One of the descriptions of so-called believers, nominal Christians in the end time, is that they will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And I'm afraid that we walk that one very, very close. Whatever you really love, whatever you're really into, that's going to be the dominant factor in your life. And to some degree, it's going to exclude anything else, because it's not going to allow the other in there. There are things that aren't evil or wicked in and of themselves. But if we're giving ourselves to those things, which are just entertainments and stuff like that, to the exclusion of being in God's word and of doing the things that we ought to be doing, then that means that to that degree, what God's wanting to do and in our lives and so in our lives is being excluded. A need or desire for acceptance and approval from the world or just from other people, whatever. How much is God's word going to really be able to take root? It's going to be limited by, oops, well, if I do that, and then the word remains unfruitful because I'm afraid if I do that, somebody won't like it. Somebody will be mad at me. Number six, this probably doesn't exist very much, but the need to control or the need to be in control of our circumstances and things like that. That's one that will retard God's word. Impurity, poor moral choices also will always be a hindrance to what God wants to do in our lives. Ambition, greed, materialism. Jesus said, beware. Beware of covetousness. And that word is a lot like our word materialism. Now, I don't think most of us consider ourselves covetous, but in this materialistic age that we live in, sometimes, you know, work ethic is good up to a point. But if it's interfering with what God wants to do, then at that point, it's not a good thing. Addictions, destructive habits, unresolved guilt, we could go on and on. So, I don't know. I can't sit here today. Only the Holy Spirit can show you or me or any of us what of any of these things may be the stones in our lives that are hindering His word so that it cannot grow and so that it cannot produce. But He is willing and He is anxious to do the work. Now, let's go back to 4 and 5, and we're concluding. God's word contains both plowing passages and seed passages. Both are necessary, and both should be going on in some measure in every believer at all times. And number 5, in the lives of believers, the Holy Spirit is the great plowmaster. And the minute we open our hearts to Him and really mean it and say, Lord, deal with my heart. I'm opening my heart to You. See if there be in me any wicked way. Y'all know that song? And lead me in the way everlasting. That's a psalm inviting the Lord to do His plowing. And Lord, whatever the plowing uncovers, Lord, by Your Holy Spirit, set me free of that. Liberate me from that. I want to be free of that. Some people struggle in an area for years as believers and have never gotten victory in that area. You can have victory right this very day in any area where you really want it. You just ask the Lord to do it. Do you think He's able to do it? He's able to do it. And if we're willing, a lot of times he's been waiting for us to say, Lord, please work in me. Whatever You have to do, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready for You to get Your plow out. I'm ready for You to work in the soil of my heart because I want my heart to be a place where when Your seed is sown, it can find a place to stay. It can find a place to grow. It can find a place to bring honor and glory to the Lord. How many have that desire today? I trust that is the true desire of our heart today. And as we do this, God is going to work in us as never before. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You today that you have a plow that is really, really good and really, really effective. Between Your word and the work of the Holy Spirit, Lord, You will break up that hard soil. And Lord, we have many hard hearts. We have, all of us have unplowed areas too in our lives. And so, Lord, today we come to You, Lord. We know that this is strictly Your work, but we have to agree to it. So, Lord, as we come today, Lord, if there's anyone here that hasn't yet accepted Jesus, then Your desire is that they would come to know Jesus today. And then as believers, Lord, those areas that we know there are things that need to go, Lord, that we would concentrate on that area on those areas, that we would allow you to do your work today by your Holy Spirit. We cannot do it, but you are able to do it. And by removing those things that are keeping out the good things that you would do, you are then able to work in our hearts in ways that you have never, never done before. So, Lord, we're praying today, break up the fallow ground. Break up the unplowed ground in our hearts today. Remove the hindrances. Remove the obstacles. Sow your seed there, and may it bring forth much fruit for your honor and your glory. It really is an issue of the heart, and Lord, you stand ready to do as much as we will allow. We thank you now, and thank you that Jesus prepared the way for all of this by giving himself on the cross. And it is only by his death there and his shed blood that any of this is even possible for us. But thank you that his blood did pay for every sin we have ever committed, and it opened the way so that we could be fully restored to fellowship with you, Lord. And that is what we come today to acknowledge in the communion. And Lord, even as we take the communion, be working in our hearts to remove obstacles, to remove fear, doubt, resentments, things that have lingered there a long, long time, that we would leave this place free today, free to receive your word in a new way and in a living way, that you would be able to work in us all the things that you desire. Thank you for the shed blood of Jesus. Thank you for the witness of the Holy Spirit that we are your children today. Work now in our hearts, we pray, by your word and by your spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen.